world, Jesus loves me. Every girl, every boy in the room is a me. One person makes a me. 4-0, all five verses, and let's walk along with it, because we have someone to sing about, not something. 4-0, and let's all sing, please. Someone start it for us. From a boy. What was the number?
Ten.
Thank you. Number 10. First two verses of number 10. Someone give us a push to start us, please.
Thank you.
of 3-2, number 32. Years ago, my dear wife and I had the privilege of being in Lawrenceville, New Brunswick. And riding in the back of the bus, we had a load of the children, and they were singing this beautiful gospel song, number 32. And as we passed a certain home, an old gentleman would come out with his crutches and act as though he were going to hit the bus. He despised the mention of the blood. 3-2. I never forget that experience. We trust he found the Savior before it was too late. 32, the first verse, chorus only. Someone start it, please. First verse and the chorus. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. Someone start it, please.
Oh, what a Savior that He died.
Mark, chapter 10, please. Mark 10:46. All day yesterday I heard one word ringing in my ears. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. What is faith? I enjoyed the definitions I heard. I'll give you one I heard. Faith is hearing God's word, believing it, and then putting legs under it. In other words, going into action. To hear the report, to believe it, and do something about it. Let's read about a man who I believe to me is a beautiful example of this very thing. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he, the blind man, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace or be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, or cheer up, we would may say in our language. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, M-E-N-T, not meant, but meant, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Six short verses. But my, the story that they tell of faith and of love and of kindness and of deliverance. Look at that verse, the 46th verse. Jericho, a city of business, city of pleasure, a city of children, schools. Ah, but let's think of the other side of it. Off where I live on the West Coast, we have thieves. Thieves, thieves, thieves. We have beggars. We have blind people. Now notice, we find Jesus came to Jericho. Dear young girl and boy, do you realize Jesus came into this world? Do you realize that? 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world, what for? To save sinners. Are you a sinner today, my friend? We'll check on that in a moment. But here we find that Jesus came and he went to Jericho. Our blessed Savior came to this world and he's gone back. But he went by the way of the cross. When he was on the cross, was he there for your sins? Thank God he was there for mine. Now what do we meet? We meet a great number of people. And we also meet a blind beggar. What is a beggar? We find this man had no eyesight. Dear young people and older ones, have you ever thanked God for your eyesight? Some of us have been through it. We've been close to blindness. Our dear old brother Thompson used to say, Oscar, did you thank God for your appetite this morning before you ate breakfast? I'd hang my head and say no. He said, you better. The little things of life that we take from God as a matter of course, do we ever stop to thank God for our eyesight, our appetite, our health, and above all for the Savior? Think about it, dear friend, young or old. Here we meet a man that's a beggar. No eyesight, no money, no home, and a garment, not mints. I don't know what this garment was, but he came to Jesus naked. We'll get to that in a moment, I trust, through the Lord's help. And here he was sitting by the highway side begging. Stop for a moment and consider the condition of this poor man. Blind, penniless, ragged, I'm sure he was dirty, homeless, friendless, except Jesus. What is a friend? Dear girl told me up in the Buchanan Street Sunday school years ago. Ah, she said, Brother Oscar, she said, a friend is a person who knows all about you and loves you still. Knows all about you and still loves you. Well, Jesus knew all about this blind beggar. Now notice, 47th verse, I'm sure the blind beggar had heard of Jesus. Dear children, I'm sure there's nobody in this room today that has never heard of Jesus before. Notice the 47th verse. And when he, the blind beggar, heard that it was Jesus, he'd heard, you have heard. Now notice the next part of that verse. He, the beggar, began to cry out. I was thinking of this yesterday. When the meeting is dismissed, there's just a hum in the room. I sat on my seat and I shut my eyes. And I thought, I was trying to think and trying to picture this poor blind man. Here was this mammoth crowd, this great crowd of people buzzing and talking and all this noise and commotion. And he heard, no doubt he asked what it meant. Jesus! Now what could he do? One thing, and that's cry for mercy. 47th verse. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David. That was the true title of our blessed Savior. He addressed him properly. Now, what does he want? Have mercy on me. What is mercy? Mercy is a word that, in my thinking, is simply this. It tells me that I have a very, very deep need, number one. Number two, I am putting myself completely in the hands of somebody else. Is that what this blind man is going to do? Yes. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now notice, the minute your soul becomes exercised about salvation, the devil rushes in with his army. Notice the 48th verse. And many charged him or told him to be quiet. Did he obey them? No. Thank God he didn't. And many charged him they should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. That dear blind man had one thing, and that's a voice. And he used it. What did he do? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He continued to cry for mercy. Now notice the 49th verse, and it says, and Jesus stood still. Those men that went to the moon, I admire. But notice what happened here. Here's a man who came from heaven, the Son of God. And he stands still at the cry of a blind beggar. Oh, you say, that's wonderful. That's true. If you go to the 10th chapter of the book of Joshua, you find that Joshua prayed and the sun and moon stood still. But here's a man who made the sun and moon, the blessed eternal Son of God that we heard about yesterday. He stands still at the cry of a blind beggar. Brethren, that's beautiful to me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called in that great crowd of people. The blessed Son of God was interested in one person at that moment. No doubt he was interested in all of them, but they were not interested in him. But he noticed the 49th verse. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called him, the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Oh, those were beautiful words, I'm sure, to the ears of that poor blind beggar. At last I have stopped the only one that can help me, Jesus of Nazareth. I said a moment ago that faith is hearing a report, believing it. This blind man heard a report that Jesus was there. He realized his need because he cried out. He took some action. He had faith. And now notice the 50th verse. We find this blind man going into action. You can hear a report and do nothing about it. I believe it's Hebrews 6:2, is it not, brethren? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Is that right, brother? Hebrews 6:2? Is it 2:2? Well, it's in Hebrews at least, isn't it? Well, we're in the right book at least. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What is it to neglect it? Simply leave it alone. Not say, no thanks, I don't want it. Just walk by and ignore it. Leave it alone. There's no escape if you neglect, if you leave alone, if you do not accept God's salvation. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. What is the free gift? Something that's offered and you accept it. What about the blind man? I like this 50th verse. Notice that 50th verse, please. And he, the blind beggar, casting away his garment, came to Jesus. Oh, you say, didn't he have any shame? I don't know. But he was interested in eyesight, dear friend. If you've laid on a surgeon's table with the eye surgeon working over you, you know a little bit of what this man went through. He casting away his garment. Why did he do that? I think he had a reason. And I believe the reason was this. He was so happy that Jesus had called him that he wanted absolutely nothing to hinder him. He didn't let the crowd hinder him, did he? No, thank God he didn't. Thank God he didn't. And now he is not going to allow his garment to hinder him either. Well, what is your hindrance? Oh, you say, my friends. If I accept Jesus, I'll lose my friends. They're not friends. They're not really friends. They're really your enemies. Well, if I accept Jesus, maybe Daddy and Mother will put me out of house and home. We had a girl out in our little town. And Edith Wright, a lovely young girl. Her father and mother do not know the Savior. Pray for Edith. a teenager, a young teenage girl in junior high. She's been saved, gathered to the Lord's name. And daddy and mother can't understand her. Before they allowed her to take her place at the Lord's table, she went everywhere. They took her here, there, over there, and back here again. Oh, but she says, daddy and mother, I'm not happy there. I want to remember the man that died for me on the cross. Finally, the parents finally says, oh, well, so what? Go ahead, Edith. Oh, if you want to see a happy, bright face, you should meet Edith Wright. Happy? Oh, her daddy and mother envy her. They both told me, we wish we had what Edith has. And we wish our other two children had what Edith has. I'm not going into that, but oh, all the sorrow that they have. That dear mother came to me, she says, Oscar, she says, I don't understand it. She says, my older daughter and our son, she says, have just gone. They're just wasting their life. I can't understand what happened to Edith. But she's so different. I said, my dear friend, Mrs. Wright, listen. Edith has trusted the Savior. And that's what you and your husband and your other daughter and son must do, is trust the Savior. You'll never regret it. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Dear friend, have you came to Jesus yet? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You'll not be happy until you find, or like the dear Chinaman told me over in Broadlawn's Hospital, you know right. Says, what do you mean? You say, Chinaman, find Jesus. Chinaman, find Jesus. You're wrong. Chinaman never find Jesus. Jesus find Chinaman. Oh, that was good. That was worth that trip over and back in the middle of the winter in the snow. What he simply meant was this. If left alone, he'd never find Jesus. Jesus came and found the Chinaman. Here, Jesus came and found the blind beggar. But now notice, when he heard the report, he believed it and he went into action. And now that's faith. That's putting legs under your faith. In other words, taking action. Now notice the 51st verse. Now Jesus begins to test this man. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? In other words, what do you want? Oh, the blessed Savior knew what that man wanted. But he wanted to hear from that man's lips himself. By the way, have you ever noticed that Zacchaeus is the only man that into whose home the Lord Jesus ever invited himself? Have you ever noticed that before? The Lord Jesus says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I am absolutely sure. In fact, I know the blessed Son of God knew that he was going to be welcome. And it says, Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Ah, my friend, the Savior wants to abide in your house. I should say your heart. Jesus said, what wilt thou, in the 51st verse, Mark 10, 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He acknowledged not now that Jesus was merely the Son of David, which he was, and rightly so. But the blind man says, Lord. That reminds me of Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart, not your head. Many people, if their head was cut off, they'd have no salvation. That is, it's all up here. Ah, it's a heart work. There's many people in the city of Des Moines today whose mind is sick, who don't know their right hand from their left. But this heart, this pump in here, what we call the heart, is still working real, real well. God speaks about the vital part about us. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead. What do those words involve? Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And God raised him. A receipt that my sins are gone. a receipt that my sins are gone. A few years back, I worked out on East 14th for a very fine gentleman. In fact, I worked for him nearly 30 years. One day, the phone on my desk rang. He says, "Oscar, come in here quickly." I says, "Yes, sir, I'm on my way." I walked in. He says, "Shut the door." He says, "Have a chair." I sat down. He said, "I just received a call from the Internal Revenue. They want to know why we haven't paid our income tax." I didn't know what had happened. He says, "Go back to your office and find out." I said, "Sir, we paid those taxes." "Well, go find out and report back quickly." "Yes, sir." I went back to the office, thumbed through the canceled checks, and came up with a check marked PAID and the date. Oh, that was a good feeling. I walked back into his office and said, "Sir, here's the canceled check." "Well," he said, "that settles the matter, doesn't it?" I says, "Yes, sir." I held it up so he could see it. Little pinhole, PAID in the date. He says, "Call him down, call such and such a number and ask for Mr. Smith," or whatever the name was, "and report." "Yes, sir," right away. I called Mr. Smith and he said, "Well, there's been some mistake." I said, "Sir, I have the check and it's marked PAID with holes through it." That was a good feeling. Ah, the blessed Savior went to the cross for sinners. How do I know I'm a sinner? Because I used to steal cookies out of my mother's cookie jar, and when she asked me, I said no. I was a thief and a liar, wasn't I? A thief and a liar. About the age of this young gentleman sitting here, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, you say, the boys are always hungry, at least in our house they are. Well, that's true. It wasn't the point that I was hungry, it was the point that I was a thief and a liar, that's why. And when our brother McMillan came through our part of the country, immediately he pointed out, lying, thinking, you can think lies, by the way. Some years ago I was up at Craven, the general meeting. I asked the children, "Is there anybody in the room that's never told a lie?" Back in the corner up went a hand. "You never told a lie?" "No, sir. I want to see you later." So I visited with this young man and his parents. I said, "Young man, you never told a lie?" "No, sir." The parents says, "Well, we actually believe that that's the truth." "I'll tell you something, though. I planned a lot of them. Ah, dear young boy and girl, you can say sin, you can do sin, you can think sin. Look quickly at Psalm 58. The book of the Psalms, chapter 58. And verse 3. Psalm 58:3. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Psalm 58:3. What does that verse tell me? Years ago, dear brethren, God loaned, L-O-A-N-E-D, my dear wife and I, 2 children. Parents, remember, God is loaning those children to you, not giving them to you. You may have them for 18 years through His infinite mercy. Use every moment of the time to fill those water pots with the Word of God. Those 18 years go by just like that. Boy, it seemed like just a few days Mary or Johnny or was a little one in the arms. What does this verse mean? They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You take the little one. Johnny's had his bath. He's had his supper. Mother's playing with him. All of a sudden she walks, the phone rings. She walks over and puts him in his crib. And what does Johnny do? He starts lying. What do you mean he starts lying? He stiffens his back, he sinks his heels into the sheet, and Johnny says, "I'm in trouble." He's not in trouble. He just likes to be played with. If you're a father or mother, you know what I mean. Your children are no different than anybody else's. Ah, we heard yesterday that in the heart is a sin tree. And as that child grows older, that tree produces sin's fruit. So we can act lies, we can, that is, do lies, think lies, we can act sin, we can think sin, we can say sin. Friend, you're a sinner, do you know it? Have you been to the Savior? Turning back quickly to Mark 10, we find that this blind man says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now what happened? Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." What is faith? Faith is hearing the report, believing it. That is God's report. Faith is hearing God's report, believing it, and then doing something about it. In other words, the Word of God says you're a sinner. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He went to the cross. Do you believe it? Yes, you say, I believe it. Now, one more question. Have you accepted it? Have you accepted it, friend? Or are you neglecting it? God grant that you'll accept the Savior today. 52nd verse, and Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." He says to the blind man, "You can go now." Did the blind man obey? Oh no, thank God he didn't. And immediately he, the blind man, received his sight. The blind man received his sight, yes. But he received something else. He has now received the Savior into his heart. His heart is so attracted by the blessed Son of God that he wants to be with him. The Lord says, "You can go now." I'm sure the blessed Savior was testing the affection of that dear man. We meet people, "Oh yes, yes, I've accepted this. I've accepted Christ. Yes, yes, I'm saved." My friend, show it to me. The book of James says, God can see your heart, but your brethren, your father, your mother must see your feet. James isn't arguing with anybody. He says, show me your faith. How do you show me, and how do I show you my faith? With these hands and feet. That's what we do. The blessed Savior says, you can leave now, so to speak. You have your eyesight. Oh, no. Notice the end of that verse. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Ah, dear children, you want happiness? The man I told you I worked for, a very wonderful man. He started out as a newsboy on the streets of Des Moines. I don't know what his financial status is today. But I know he has more thousands than I have pennies. But that isn't the point. I worked for that dear man, and I trust I've prayed for him continually over the years, and I still do. Oh, if he could only find the Savior, or be found by the Savior. He and you and I are looking for one thing in this universe: happiness. You want to be happy, dear children? Dear young people, dear teenager, older ones, do you want to be happy? Oh, you say, absolutely. If I only had a hot rod. Talked to me one young man, and he says, I'd like to be an astronaut. Well, I'm going to be one someday. I'm going right past the moon. I'm not going to stop there. I'm not coming back. That is, when the blessed Savior calls, I'm gone. Instantaneously, it says, in the twinkling of an eye. That's faster than going to the moon. Ah, that blessed Savior, the man that made the sun and the moon, that blessed one died for me on the cross. How about you? If he's won your heart, you better start following him. And immediately he received his sight. Salvation is yours the moment you trust the Savior, friend. The moment you trust the Savior. And from that moment forward, start following Jesus. That is the secret of happiness. Faith is hearing God's report, believing it, and accepting it. Faith is hearing, believing, and then action. Shall we sing number 43 on the back of our book, or our hymn sheet, 43? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. inside and outside. Oh, what's the difference? Inside and outside, on which side are you? Ah, my friend, think about it and trust the Savior. 43, someone start it, please.